This is Highly Social with Mike Eaton. Bitches, show Mike Eaton your titties.
Hi, welcome back to Highly Social. It's your host, Mike Eaton, the same person it always is, because that's what this—that's how podcasts work. I haven't recorded one in like a week, and I have four brain cells left from St. Paddy's Day. But the most important sponsor, and the only one that really matters, is The Creek in the Cave, the best comedy club in the whole goddamn world. They've got mics and shows 7 days a week. They never close, rain or snow or shine, unless it snows a lot or something bad happens. But
shine.
Yeah. They're here. They're awesome. We're also brought to you by Crescent Canna. Use code Eaton for 10% off site-wide. And I think the bong company actually shut down because I went on both of those guys' Instagrams and it wasn't on there and they haven't replied to any messages. So I love you guys. Thank you. We tried. We did our best. I think that's all the sponsors. Anyways, today we have an amazing guest. It's the wonderful Colm Terrell.
What's up, fellas?
Well, welcome.
What's going on, Mike?
It's good to see you.
How are you?
I'm alive. How are you?
You really fucking just got over the finish line with that fucking intro, huh?
It's me, the guy talking. I'm the host, you know, that podcast.
I fucking hate podcast intros because unless you do it like the Are You Garbage guys.
Oh, yeah.
And you have this amazing fucking radio morning.
Ding, dong, ding, boom. Yeah.
Just like, fuck, we're going to talk. Do you really need me to address what's happening? You clicked it.
Telling you what, though, there's a show going on outside. And luckily, he's not getting many laughs. And what if might be some interference coming into this.
If this was a good show, it'd be very distracting.
It would be. My show sold out, ladies and gentlemen.
Probably. Oh, yeah, it's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. This is a nice thing. It's like I just did the Mothership, too. And, you know, that show sells out. And it's nice when you get to just do sold out shows.
So did you do crazy stuff for the St. Paddy's Day show?
For the Mothership show?
Yeah.
Not really. No, I just hosted.
Just stand up?
It was just stand up. I just hosted. We booked a bunch of local guys.
Because you do your midnight circus?
Yeah, the midnight circus is nuts.
And that's always insane. So I was expecting it to be.
I haven't done one in a while, actually. We did one down in Florida for a festival, and it was a bit of a dud.
Yeah.
Because the crowd that showed up, I think, were just sort of for a show. I don't think they were aware.
That it was going to be bonkers.
Yeah, and that's really not why you want to be. Like, I'm on acid, I'm dressed as a fucking clown, you know, and then all the acts are doing stupid shit. And it's like the crowd was just like, it was quiet. They went over, it was a half empty room. It was like a rough one.
Yeah.
So I've kind of written it off. I've kind of removed it from the. Shows.
I mean, the one at Skankfest was
a lot of fun. Yeah, the next one,
legendary.
Next Skankfest one will be good. I'm thinking of doing the next one though, called Midday Circus, maybe.
Ooh,
at Skankfest, like start off early at 12 and like.
That'll be better for you because you can do that, and then you can go and pass out,
and then I'm relaxed for the rest of the day. Because last time I was walking around like fucking trying to stay sober, kind of. But the Midnight Circus is the most fun thing. There's a few things I'm proud of, but the Midnight Circus stuff is most fun.
Yeah,
I kind of wish I was like. I don't know. I could either need more help or more budget or something because I'd love to go. I'd like to bring it up
another
steps,
level,
but
yeah.
It's like you can't win it without money, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's the hard part with stuff like that is like a network would want to take out the parts of it that make it so good.
Well, the problem and the thing is a lot of it's bad and that's what makes it fun too. It's like a lot of this show is, fuck, if anyone gives a fuck, but it's a midnight circus and then I host it and then I always book weird acts and I book great acts too and I let them do whatever they want. I say, look, if there's anything you want to do that's a little bit weird, now's the time to do it. Or just do your act too, because it's just like, who gives a fuck?
Well, we all have that dumb shit that we write down. We're like, there's no place for this.
Yeah.
And then one day you're like, there's a place for this.
Yeah, but because even like there's a type of comedy that works. Like I've learned now as I always end the show with like kind of a headliner who just does stand up and that kind of, you know, but the headliner needs to be able to do that room. Like Sean Patton.
Yeah.
Close it out one that time. He was perfect because he came in. He knows everyone's on shrooms. He's like, and he's fucking
with
them.
He's unreal too.
And then his stand-up's so good.
Yeah.
Jordan Jensen closed it out one time too. I think she was great on it too.
Yeah.
You know, she wore like a ringmaster costume and just did her wacky shit.
That's fun.
Like, I'd love to get like a tell. Would be a dream.
Oh, that, yeah. I mean? Him talking to a bunch of people that are just fucked out of their minds.
Yeah.
That's got to be incredible.
Or is it Reggie Watts? Is that the DJ type of guy?
That does music and stuff with the crazy hair?
That would be perfect for the show, too. Yeah. And like that.
Have you seen Stamp Town before the show?
No. But I you posted about it. I started following the guy.
So I had never seen or heard anything about it. And then a bunch of people who have like comedy opinions I respect were like, you have to go to this.
Yeah.
And no one ever says that about comedy shows unless it's like perverts, where the girls do butt plug tug of war. Like, you know, because it's comedians are numb to it. It's like another fucking comedy show. And then shit, that guy is unbelievable. And his physical comedy, I guess he was like classically trained as a clown.
Wow.
And like you forget, like I think of clown as like a derogatory term I use to like describe my job.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a clown, you know?
Dipshit, yeah.
Yeah, like, but like clown school is like a real thing. They learn a lot.
Yeah, you get these clowny fuckers. They take it very seriously, you know, and they hate the
whole thing. Which is hilarious.
And now, well, that's because to us, it's like a guy who's, you know, who fucking his flower squirts water and there's like 15 of them in a car, you know?
But yeah.
Like big wacky shoes, like real crusty.
And you think that part, but then like you watch some of the physical comedy and you're like, they practice.
Yeah.
A lot.
It's a real old, like high-end art form in France and shit. Yeah.
I've started watching more of my video back because I've always just been an audio guy.
Yeah.
And I have some act outs that I do that I picture how I'm doing them in my head, but they don't look like that from every angle. And I haven't watched them on video. I watched them on video and I had to like stand different, move my hands different on stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, this actually makes it make sense and is what I wanted it to look like in my head. And I think like, man, should I have gone to clown school?
Well, maybe you should. That's not too late. You never give up. You know what I mean? First person in your family to go to clown college.
I can't imagine how fucking pissed all my ancestors would be. My dad is a fourth generation Dallas lawyer.
Oh, wow. So Jesus Christ.
Literally, I was supposed to be the fifth. I was supposed to go to law school and then be a Dallas lawyer.
Yeah.
And I'm this. Oh, and they're like, no. Dad, I'm not just a stand-up comedian.
I can't imagine.
I'm going to clown school.
I come from a long line of losers.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine having high-achieving parents. Or like my dad dropped out of school when he was like 13.
Oh, that rules.
You know, my mother, you know, worked a retail her whole life. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, nothing wrong with it. Humble.
Are they still alive?
Yeah. They're both fucking.
That's awesome.
Rocking around. Yeah.
Still married?
Yeah.
Of course. That's so cool.
Of course. Are you kidding me? None of this fucking heat, the evil American.
Yeah.
Yeah. They haven't loved each other in years, but they're still together. You know what it is.
You
know?
You have siblings?
Yeah. A couple of older brother, older sister.
Nice. Oh, yeah. You have like. You go visit them and shit, right?
I go home and visit them, yeah. Well, I got a bunch of nieces.
Yeah.
So it's good to see them, but yeah, I can't imagine the high achieving thing, because I know a guy, I used to do a podcast with him, and he just quit one day, you know, like literally quit comedy like that. It was, and which just never happens.
Yeah.
What happens is people just slow, it's a terminal.
You stop getting booked.
It's a slow, passive terminal. Oh, I'm busy. I have a kid. I can't do as many spots as I once did. And then the weeks turn to months and you're out. That's just how it is. Whereas he just literally overnight went, I'm out, and fucking pulled the plug.
That's crazy.
But it's funny because, but his family are like fourth or fifth generation doctors. His brother like is a lawyer for the FBI or something like that.
Damn.
His other his sister like one survivor or something crazy. His other brother is a comedian who didn't quit, but he's like now working with like Dan Cook or something with a play or some shit like that.
So he's
and then the other brother, their family's famous on TikTok. They're like a famous TikTok family or something.
Holy
like
shit.
That. Yeah, so he went back in, but he just left and went back into the family business.
Like, I'll just be a doctor, I guess.
Dude, I never in my life got in trouble for like bad grades.
Yeah.
You know, results, as we would call them.
Okay. You
know, some bad results.
Did you go to college?
Yeah.
How does college work? The only Irish college I know is Trinity.
Yeah, Trinity College. How do you even know that?
I went and visited because I was thinking about trying to go there.
Good luck.
So my dad, when he got rich, got really into genealogy.
Woo.
And he like paid this person to trace back our family. So we have like an ancestor at some point that was like a king of Ireland and had a castle.
Mm.
So my dad tracks down the castle and it's like 2 hours outside of Dublin. So we rent a car in Dublin. We spend like a week in Dublin and do all the touristy shit. And then we drove down. We found this castle on this like farmer's property. And like broke through like a keep out sign and they went and looked at it. And then he made an offer and bought it from the guy.
Okay.
So he like buys a castle. We're out there like to do castle stuff. and while we were in
my
Dublin,
favorite type of stuff.
Yeah. Like, dude, I wish my dad had just stayed rich.
Oh, what happened?
The 2008 stuff when all of the, he worked in like a weird sect of law that helped all of the people with making like crazy luxury apartments.
Mm.
And it was, bad what they were doing.
Yeah, what they
he was getting them tax exempt by making small parts of them Section 8 housing. So they didn't pay any taxes on the huge giant luxury complex because they gave two poor people cheaper rent. And after all of the stuff crashed, that all those laws just got cut off and all the loopholes got closed.
Yeah. But at least you're rich for a little bit.
But yeah, I wanted to go to Trinity. I went and checked out. I still have a Trinity polo somewhere.
Yeah, Trinity's kind of gay, though. You know what I mean?
All right.
It's like
I should have gone. I would have fit right in.
Nah, it's like Harvard or something like that. It's preppy. It's shitty. No.
So where'd you go?
Protestants. I went to...
Protestants.
It is. It's a Protestant... Catholics weren't allowed to go until like the early 1900s or something.
Oh, wow.
Jamie, can you look that up? I don't know, but Catholics weren't allowed to go for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think they even let women in before the fucking Catholics, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Are you nuts? Their brains can't learn. Their brains aren't able to retain information. Doctor, ha 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 ha.
What are they even doing there?
What are they studying, dresses?
Oh, you need to learn a recipe? Just keep it with you.
You got a doctorate in handbagology? Okay, Dame. Kitchen work.
How did you get a master's in being passive aggressive? That's incredible. Yeah.
What do you major in? Being a cunt?
My major is actually no nothing's wrong. No nothing's wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, Trinity's like that.
Okay. That's the only thing I know about college over there. So
I went to the University of Ireland, Maynooth, which is like spread out. There's like, technically they're all like under the same umbrella, but they're all like, there's like six different colleges all around Ireland. So it's
like a SUNY thing, but it's for Ireland instead of New York.
It would be more like NYU, but they have NYU and then you'd have like DCU and then you'd have like
that makes sense. Yeah.
Austin U or whatever, but they're all kind of related in a little bit, but that was pointless. I did the fucking like two and three and a year off. Or did I do? I can't remember. I either did 4 or 5 years in college or something like that. And I don't think I ever once used it. Well, actually, it got me an American visa. So then I moved here and then I just worked in like fucking blue collar shitty jobs my whole life. So I have a degree in business management and I've never used it, applied it in any way.
Damn. Never even managed a business.
Been on the Tonight Show though. So
eat a dick. Famous alum.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think college is almost pointless at this point.
Yeah, I guess it's good for the resume, man. You know what I mean? It just helps you get the job, but the cost of it outweighs the benefit of the... It's like, hey, with this degree, you can get a job, but it will take you 20 years to pay off the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, what are they even teaching you? How to fucking be anti-Semitic? I can fucking learn that at home.
Yeah, I got YouTube. I can figure it out.
Self-thought. Did you go to college? No, self-thought. Yeah. That's so funny how the kids have gone so liberal now that they're anti-Semitic. It's just fucking incredible. Won't be long now before they're fucking lynching blacks. Tell you that.
I mean, that would be hilarious to watch them try. Like some of the like young liberal college age, like Berkeley kids.
Yeah.
With their gauged ears and their swoop haircut and shit.
Some little
fucking... going up to try and do a lynch on TikTok.
Yeah, of course. Just some fucking genderless freak.
Because when you picture a lynch, you picture like a Bubba kind of guy that's fat white racist
it's
dude.
It's not. It's some chick from Connecticut. And she's putting on a fucking Klan hoodie. She put on a Klan hood, a rainbow fucking Klan hood. Yeah.
A rainbow clan hood that says "We heart Hamas."
Yeah. That's like the "I heart New York" shirt. I heart Hamas.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Fuck, I should buy. Then Nate got that made as a fucking shirt. Wear that. That would be so funny.
Oh,
the Irish love. The Irish love a bit of Palestine. Irish love a bit of Palestine. usually if you're been oppressed. Country like that, you root for the underdog, you know?
I have to imagine that like you guys would send aid of like, here's how car bombs work.
Like, yeah.
You guys should learn this shit. We got real good.
Yeah, but it makes sense. Like what type of a loser are you to be kind of like a Zionist? If you're not a Jew, I get it. Stick here, support your home club. I get it.
Did you see
support your team? Your team is your team. Who it is, whether they're winning or losing in championships.
Yeah, I always support USA.
But yeah,
I'm mad at our team.
Of course, but if you're not a Jew, you should be Team Palestine. It's just underdogs all day. I think that's just the rude. Like, how could you possibly root for the fucking the Jews?
You wanted Michigan to win. You didn't cheer for Washington.
Yeah. Oh, what are you got a roll tide too? You fucking. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. But you know,
there's four things I love: the Lakers, the Yankees, Israel, the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Just a Knights fan.
But you know, the South by Southwest had a big thing.
Yeah.
And I got in a little, not a fight, but it was like a little quick discussion with some bitch at a bar real quick. She was like,
So how did the discussion go?
Pretty much me just telling her she's a moron. No, because she was talking about the South by Southwest stuff. Because so what happened was a bunch of she was online fighting people because she's this is a wild take, but she loves the military industrial complex. I guess she's team.
Raytheon or whatever.
Yeah. Literally Team Raytheon, right?
Yeah.
So it turns out that Raytheon were sponsoring the South by Southwest or something like that.
Probably.
Some sort of a thing going on with the South by West Festival where
they do
comics,
not pay artists well.
They don't pay the artists, yeah. but they are getting $1 million off a War Machine thing. And so a lot of Irish, you know, we're like activists a lot, and we're Team Pally all day.
Yeah.
Team Hamas. And so they pulled out of when it came out that, by the way, I don't even understand what, it's not like that when you get sponsored by Gillette and people go, oh, I should fucking shave my face.
Yeah.
It's like, who's like going to buy some fucking drones off fucking Raytheon? It's like,
no, I think that, it's more so you're just like, Raytheon can't be that bad. They like South By.
Yeah.
They brought me that cool activation.
Yeah.
With all the Breaking Bad stuff or whatever.
I saw Kid Cudi.
Dude, the word activation makes me want to shoot up a school.
What?
They used to call them pop-ups. They used to be like, oh, we're going to do like a themed pop-up. And then like your favorite bar for one. Like they do one at, there's a place here called Nickel City. That's a very fun bar. And for Halloween, they turn the whole thing into Moe's Tavern from The Simpsons.
Okay.
And they serve a flaming Moe and they do a whole thing. But they call it a pop-up for that. Now they've changed to calling those activations. So the little vendor tents and shit. The thing you're going into is an activation. I just hate the term. It makes me cringe.
I never even heard of it before in my life.
Oh, well.
Do you know, did you ever celebrate Guinness Day? That was a great day. I know St. Patrick's Day just went up, but there used to be a thing called Arthur Guinness Day.
Uh-huh.
And it was on like September 5th or some shit.
Yeah.
And they did it originally to celebrate the 150-year signing of the Guinness lease. Mm-hmm. Guinness signed a lease off the Irish government. For the home of that brewery,
mm-hmm.
a 1,000-year lease.
Whoa.
So they signed it back in 18, whatever.
That's fucking sick.
So at 150 years. Sorry?
1725.
There you go. All right. So it must have been a 250-year fucking anniversary anyway. So they did a thing called Arthur Guinness Day, and then it was 1800 something was the year Guinness was invented. So they said at a minute past six, we're all going to do a salute and go to Arthur, you know? And they, Diageo fucking crushed it. They made the whole day out. They advertised the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
They did it in Ireland. They did it all over the world, actually, but Ireland was the big one. And then they booked a bunch of shows all around Dublin, big huge theaters. They had like YouTube in the stadium. They had like fucking these guys. But what they didn't tell anyone was that they had local like kind of headliners in small shitty clubs, like kind of like the Creek. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No offense to the Creek, it's like I can't even sell it out. But you know what I mean? Like it's a small room like that. But they didn't tell everyone that all the big names were doing multiple shows that day. So you could just be in a room like this. Next thing you know, Bono walked on stage to feature for the fucking.
That's cool.
And yeah, no, it was the best day out because Paddy's Day gets sloppy, but. Guinness Day was just, if you're drinking a Guinness, you're fucking probably not fighting. You know what I mean?
Heavy.
Yeah, it was just the best one. And then it got huge. And then eventually people started getting mad about it because they were like, it was advertised like it was an artist thing and you could apply to be in the thing. It was for artists. It was like a music promotion. But mm-hmm. then everyone was like, you're just hijacking art. with your beer because you want to sell beer. So then eventually they were like, yeah, we're going to stop doing it. Which I was like, I thought that was crazy. Arthur Guinness Day was like my favorite fucking.
Damn. We'll bring it back.
Maybe I should start doing show. I should start doing the Arthur Guinness show.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
September 6th or whatever.
And do 20, the what fucking
28th.
September 28th. Yeah, so maybe every September 28th, I should do a Guinness show.
Yeah, do a Guinness Day.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah, bring it back.
Yeah, but that, imagine like some of the drop-ins that they had back then were crazy. Like,
don't think about the drop-ins you could get.
Yeah, I, not really.
Come on.
I could get a lot of people to cancel on me last second.
Yeah, that'd be so cool, though. You guys almost saw Dave Chappelle.
Just so you know, guys, Schengel is canceled.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was going to be here.
He promised me up until about 4 seconds ago that he was coming in.
You guys, your next comedian, Schengel, isn't going to make it.
Guys, clap it up if you like Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast. Yeah. Well, neither of those guys are here tonight.
It is a sick podcast. Your next comedian also likes it.
Oh, I should fucking do that tonight, actually, when I bring up Gardini.
Yeah.
I should go. He's on it sometimes.
Yeah. Definitely do that.
Someone got mad at me before for that. Ricky, why can't I think of his full name? No. Like, Ricky, he fucking lives in New York. He opens for Pete Davidson all the time. It's like Ricky Martinez. What is it? Fucking.
I hope it's like Garcia or something. So Martinez is close.
It's Hispanic. Something. But he got mad at me one time. He told me something. I was bringing him up on stage. He told me something very specific what to say.
Yeah.
And then I just like did my own thing.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that all of his. Do you have it?
I'm just looking up his name.
Yeah, just say Pete Davidson opener, Ricky.
Stanicky.
Velez. Ricky Velez. Velez. So I just did my own thing. But like, oh, guys, we got a very special guest drop in today. You know him from The King of Staten Island. You know him from whatever. And I just named all these things that Pete Davidson are in. So then they all just expected Pete to come up. And then I brought up Rick. And then so it's kind of like disappointing for them. But because he said, just say this.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, okay. And then I just said whatever I wanted. But I didn't know. I didn't know I was fucking him. It wasn't an intentional thing. It wasn't until afterwards. I was like, oh, okay, that is kind of fucked. Oh, yeah, so what I was saying was, South by Southwest, all these Irish artists pull out of the thing. It comes out that Raytheon sponsors them. All these Irish artists start to pull. It's a big thing. And it's funny, had I been booked on that festival, I would have had to pull out.
Yeah.
I would have had to just...
And you never pull out.
Not me. I'm a fucking in the guts type of guy.
Yeah.
I'm washing guts.
Power washing, baby.
Power washing.
Drop a gooper in the back.
Lob some gloop in there. But I would have had to pull out because of like it would have just been crazy for me not to pull out.
Yeah,
it would have been better press for me. It was like gay. I think it's kind of gay to pull out like that, but whatever. But the way the Irish worked, I would have had to. The articles would have been 11 artists, Irish artists, pull out of South by Southwest. I would have to ring a publicist and go get this on the news. I need people to know who I am because I'm a nice guy. But anyway, she was complaining about this.
Okay.
She was talking
about them dropping out.
Yeah. And she was fighting people on the internet. And then they go, most American people don't realize how America needs defense weapons. Raytheon protects this country. It's like if we weren't loaded with missiles, people would invade us all the time. I was like, yeah, but no one's complaining about you having defense weapons. What we're saying is maybe stop supplying all the weapons to Israel who are dropping them on babies' heads.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That'd be like you like fucking going, well, like you punching your wife or something.
Yeah.
And then just being like, well, what do you want me to do? I need these fists in case I get an intruder.
Yeah.
You know, I got to have these hands, you know?
Yeah, it would
it'd be like pistol whipping your fucking wife in the head every night and then go, well, I need a gun in case someone breaks in.
I got to keep it fresh.
It's got to, yeah, that's exactly it.
It's exactly like that.
I think it is.
We just solved geopolitics. It's the same as domestic violence.
No, it's just I'm saying no one has said don't have your missiles. Don't have a big fucking rocket launcher ready to go.
Have your shields.
Yeah.
Have your missiles to defend
stuff. Have your shields. And then even
have your dome.
Sell them to the Africans or something. Just leave the fucking Palestinians out of it. You know?
I don't think we should sell any weapons outside of our country.
Probably not.
I feel like we should just make weapons here for us.
Fair.
If you're...
Well, the problem is you sell all these...
I know money's cool and all, but like, do you sell them worse weapons?
When you, and like, look at World War II. Right? How many weapons from
Japan? I would.
I would have to say, if I'm from here and I'm making weapons here, I'm not going to sell you the same good weapons I got so that if something goes bad, I can be like, oh yeah, by the way, yeah, weapons don't work.
Oh yeah, by the way, yeah, there's a cheat code that they know that you're fucking just, your drones will fall from the sky.
Up,
you
up, down, down, left, right, left, right, PA, start. Now your fucking drones are done. Contra code, bitch.
Well, yeah, but yeah, you wonder what goes on with Raytheon. Like, Raytheon must be like controlled heavily by the government.
So here's my problem.
It is just an extension of the, because you couldn't, the legislation needed on that, because your country needs to be at the forefront of technology constantly. That's how all wars are pretty much won. That usually comes down to who has the best technology. Like World War II was kind of like that. The British were able to.
We got nukes and we won.
Yeah, I guess eventually.
Thanks, Einstein.
Yeah, but I guess what happened was when the Germans were trying to bomb Britain with the Blitz, Britain had radio signals that were able to detect planes from hundreds of miles away.
They kept it a secret, and they said that carrots gave you better eyesight. And they said that all of their pilots ate a diet heavy in carrots, and that's why their pilots' eyes were so good.
Did they say that?
That was where the myth that like carrots were good for your eyes came from. Because that was propaganda spread by the English government to cover the fact that they had radar and sonar shit before it was released to the public as a technology.
But there's always been things like that. Scared. It's like that the pointed
Can you double check and make sure I didn't just make that up?
Like don't leave it. I'd rather believe it to be.
Yeah, but I told Darian the first vibrator was a clay pot full of bees. Because I read that and thought it was true.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
But also, if you Google Cleopatra clay pot bees vibrator, a lot of stuff shows up.
Right. They used to sell a. I used to work in a toy store, like a kids toy store.
Dog, I fucking nailed it.
Congratulations, all right, cool. You've one goofy fact.
That's why I don't eat carrots. It's not because I don't like vegetables and I prefer cake. It's because I knew this bullshit.
My eyesight's already 20/20.
Yeah.
But again, if you ever look at the guy who, like, they call him, like, the, you know, the king of marketing or whatever his name was.
The Wolf of Wall Street?
No, well before him. This guy invented, like...
George Louis.
Yeah, I think that's his name. Yeah, yeah. And he was able to get women to start smoking and all this type of stuff. He made it sexy.
Oh, that was Ed... Fuck.
Gain. I don't know, but he was like the king of propaganda. He changed. He came up with the term public relations. It used to be called propaganda, and then after World War II, propaganda got a bad name. Yeah. So he's like, nah, it's public relations. Edward. Isn't that how funny? How propaganda is just when a government that you don't like does things.
Yeah.
But when you do it, it's marketing and public relations. But he invented the American breakfast. Essentially, he was working. Whoa. He was working for like big orange juice and bacon.
Thank you.
Bacon. Who's the main bacon manufacturer? Something. Myers.
Pigs.
Myers.
Oscar Mayer.
Oscar Mayer like hired him. Sorry. So he just invented this idea that this is what people eat in the morning. He went to the he was the first one. Is this
weekend at Bernays?
Yes, this guy.
Edward Louis Bernays.
You know what he did? He went to his doctor, right? And he goes, "Would you say that not eating eating after 15 hours is like important or something like that?" Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah. So he was like, so if I sleep for a full night, I wake up in the morning, it's probably important to eat. And they're like, yeah. So then he was like, okay, cool. So he went to like a bunch of doctors and kind of got, and then he came up with the slogan, like 9 out of 10 doctors say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And so, but now still to this day, bacon and eggs and orange juice and all this shit is considered an American diet. But he just made this up because he was hired by them. He was just the best.
Damn, that guy rules.
This guy just really created a lot of crazy shit. Mm-hmm. He's fucking good at it.
Oh, he didn't die that long ago. Well, I also just forgot that 1995 wasn't like 20 years ago. So
yeah,
whatever, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, of course. But you think this guy's been around for a long, long time. But a lot of
that's him.
Everybody should watch this.
The Century of the Self.
Oh, what is
it? It's about him. It's about propaganda.
And how it works.
And from Bernays.
Bernays' 20s, uncle is fucking Freud.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, so he was able to, when he was marketing, he was writing letters to his uncle. It's like, what do people need? So he learned how to sell stuff, products through, you know, fear and hope and things like that, rather than just being like, this makes your life better. This is like, you're a bad mother if you don't do this thing. That type of shit. Like, he really did the whole fucking thing. Powerful fucking guy, huh? Yeah. Powerful fucking guy. Pretty interesting.
Well, Freud was like,
I'm just saying,
everybody wants to fuck their mom. And this guy was like, no. everybody wants to fuck their mom that doesn't buy cornflakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're like, mm-hmm. Oh shit, I gotta buy cornflakes.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
That's so cool, the way the genealogy works like that.
But there you go, yeah, that guy fucking invented a lot of shit, and he did some weird shit with cigarettes too. I can't remember, women didn't buy suffrage.
Yeah, he got women smoking.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, he got women smoking.
Liberty sticks.
If she smokes, she pokes. Oh. That was like, I learned that in college, and it was like universally true. Mm. Every time you were outside smoking a cigarette, mm-hmm. and you'd see a girl out there smoking, you could probably bang her.
Yeah, fucking women that smoke cigarettes are nasty whores.
That's what I'm saying, but in a nice way.
Sure, whatever. I'm sure yours rhymed.
Yeah.
Torches of Freedom. Yeah, he organized.
That's cool.
You know what? Because women weren't allowed to smoke or something. They were banned from smoking somewhere. So then he organized a protest. That was actually an advertising campaign. It wasn't even like, damn. This guy is a genius when it came to some stuff.
Do you know that the Rosa Parks thing was a planned deal?
What?
So
who sponsored that?
Can you look up the name of the lady that at first? So here's the
bus company.
No, so it was like a civil rights protest, but the first time it actually happened, it was a younger lady who was unwed. And she was pregnant and she was very dark skinned, and she got told to go to the back of the bus and she refused, like the Rosa Parks story goes. But because of unwed, pregnant and darker skin, they didn't want her as the face of the movement. So they staged the Rosa Parks thing so that she would do it. But like, I found all this out because I was on Twitter, and there's like a whole section of Twitter called Black Twitter, and Black Twitter, there was a whole thing going viral about Rosa Parks' husband had a car. And I was like, oh shit, that's crazy. Claudette Colvin,
so
there it is.
She didn't even, so Rosa Parks was actually like some rich chick, and then she didn't even know how to get on. She got on the bus.
I don't know
if
she was rich, but like it wasn't natural the way that her thing happened. It wasn't like
she wasn't actually going somewhere.
Yeah, she was getting on this bus to do this protest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
makes sense.
But it's just like, it's one of those things like, that would have been so much cooler to learn than the way they teach it in school.
Yeah, well, they didn't teach me this in school at all. They don't teach us about your fucking shit.
Yeah, that's probably smart. We don't teach us about your shit either.
Yeah, of course. You don't know anything about it. You don't even know.
No.
You don't even know about your
own.
I know
you guys don't have any snakes.
That's true.
Because St. Patrick got rid of them. And we celebrated yesterday by green beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't do that. That's crazy. No, we don't do green beer.
Green beer is wild.
It's just food dye.
Yeah.
In a bud.
So I was at a pool bar on Saturday night in Chicago.
Green? You probably shit a little green, do you?
I didn't drink any green beer.
I mean, normally.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying you look like the type of person who shits green.
Yeah, it's like, actually, it's closer to blue. I eat a lot of blue food dye.
Do you eat a lot of fucking slushies?
Fruity Pebbles.
Okay, interesting.
4 bowls a day. Keeps you healthy. But there, I was at the bar and I'm ordering a drink, and the guy next to me orders a beer, and he's like, do you have green beer? And the lady goes, no. And he goes, aww. Like, wow, dude, grown man. You can't say, aw, about no dye in your beer.
Yeah.
You fucking clown.
Yeah, it's fucking, yeah.
Gay?
Yeah, exactly.
How was Chicago for you?
It's a lot of fun. We were across the street.
Across the street.
Yeah, you should have swung by. You could have swung by.
I should have.
Would have got you a little guesty.
That would have been amazing.
I've got connections like that, you know. Yeah, I just did Zanies.
Amazing?
A lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done that one, but I've heard nothing but good things about that room.
Old ass room.
Yeah?
Old club from like, I think the early 80s maybe.
Oh, wow.
And so like all it's just headliners for days. You're just like reading all these old names and Googling them and being like, I wonder what this cunt is doing. Like, because people never heard of, it's in black and white. And then it's always like, got a job writing for fucking Everybody Loves Raymond or whatever, mm-hmm. Or a producer for fucking commercials or whatever. They all get out. They used to be like back in the day with stand-ups, it was like you could get out of stand-up. Mm-hmm. Stand-up was good for a little bit, but
you could make money doing other stuff.
It was an opportunity to go into other things. Now it's not. No. Also, money in stand-up now is so much bigger than it was back then that people don't want to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the top echelon of it.
Yeah. I think anyone. There's more professional comedians today than ever before.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's...
No one's good though. There's not anyone. No one's good. There's like 5 good comedians.
That is, It's fucking weird.
Especially in this fucking dump of a city, I'll tell you that. Most overhyped dog shit fucking crowds of most dog shit comics I've seen in my life.
Oh, man.
I'm kidding. I'm having
fun. Dude, you're about to eat a bag of dicks on this next show.
I know, yeah.
Just for spite
in
the Austin crowd. None of them are going to come in. But no, it's, you know, I feel like I get very spoiled in the Austin scene because I see so many killers all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I go to other places and like, I also expect to do well, but like I did a very touristy spot for the guy that was headlining was like a Chicago local and he's an older Irish white guy. He's very funny. And then like a lot of the people in the crowd were there St. Paddy's Day weekend in downtown. And I did not, my first set did not go well at all. And like even my nicer stuff was just not playing with these people. I was like, oh shit. And like seeing the comics there was like, they're good. And then I did a bunch of spots around town and then I saw people doing jokes and it was like, what the fuck? You would do that on a show?
What, like what?
Oh, I'm not going to say it so that they don't identify, so someone doesn't say
this. But bad?
Yeah, there's some of the jokes were just like, there was a set that I watched.
Was this in Chicago?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have ranked.
That. There were some really, really fucking badass
people. I would
say
Chicago's like usually third best city in the country for comedy usually.
Yeah, I know a ton of killers from there.
Mm.
And like, I'm not shitting on the scene at all. It's a fucking great scene. I just like, I get spoiled here. I think there's so many fucking people here that are so good that are doing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know,
New York's still the best. New York's the best.
I think New York also, like, do you think it's the best because the crowds are the hardest to please?
I don't know.
So you have to work the hardest for it?
I think it's just, it's more like, it's like there's a tradition of being really good stand-ups that's kind of just held like a high standard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the crowds really have dictated anything. Because the crowds are all kind of tourists anyway.
Okay.
So, you know, like they say, the Comedy Cellar, you know, it is what it is, but it's all tourists. So it's like they're not necessarily the most savvy. I don't know what comedy savvy fucking even means, you know what I mean? But the Cellar is busy, it's full of tourists, but I just think the standard is higher. Because people who go there, all they've ever wanted to do is just be good and poor. You know, all our best comedians are all like almost homeless, you know?
Yeah.
Like Dave Attell. He's a millionaire, but he looks like he fucking rides the bus, you know?
He probably does sometimes.
Maybe.
I bet he does just to sit on there, just to look at people.
Yeah, I don't know. But all that stuff, all this, like the idea of scenes and all that shit is kind of dead too. You know, it's like everyone kind of flies everywhere. Everyone knows each other now because of the internet too. Everyone's kind of friends. You've got your friends in each place and you all do each other's podcasts and like you mix and match and the internet's changed everything. The internet's like the scene now. There's no more like...
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you're a lot more experienced than I am. Like you get... You've seen a lot more of the shift of stuff.
Yeah. Most of the stuff repeats itself over and over again, though.
Yeah.
Now what's happening is a lot of comics are getting pretty famous fast because of whatever they're doing. And they are more famous than they are good. There's a lot of comics right now that are more famous than they are good. And usually 95 times out of 10, they...
Well, that's
they don't develop well because it's hard to turn it, get good. You've no motivation to get really good.
Well, if people are there and they're excited to see you, they're already going to give you an edge.
Yeah, and also they like you. Also, if you're famous and you're selling tickets and you go up and do a joke that's hacky, you're being rewarded for being shit. Mm-hmm. You know, so you'll see in a fucking, you'll see in 10 years a lot of comics that are getting really fast overnight. They won't really have the longevity.
Yeah,
you'll assume at least it's not guaranteed, but you can kind of assume that, you know. It's like why most comedians they kind of get bad once they get famous.
Yeah, it's weird to watch. Like the Crack Amico put out his Two Bears One Grave video.
Yeah,
I fucking love that guy.
That was bars.
That's the thing.
Actually, but I'll tell you what, I like just as an actual rapper, I think he's genuinely good at.
That's the part that makes it so interesting to me is like the first stuff I heard of his, I was like, oh, this guy fucking, because I had never heard of him until the first Skate Fest I went to.
He did Slay on that one.
Yeah.
He did Slay.
Dude, LA is gay?
Oh, yeah.
LA, that's a fucking banger. No, but the
Two Beers, One Grave was, I will say Bert kind of got the heavy fucking brunt of it now.
Yeah.
I don't think, but it was like, some of the stuff he said, I was like, oh.
He had some fucking deep cuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, the picture or the video cut of Theo and Christina from, you know, forever ago and saying he's the real dad.
Oh, yeah.
That's wild. But I it's interesting because someone else was asking me about that. The like tides have turned against a lot of the people that 10 years ago were the standard for who's the best comic. It's one of the answers.
Yeah.
People have started to hate them.
Yeah, but it's also, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the fucking, what the internet wants or whatever, I guess. But, the, you know, problem with Tom is he did go from being a fat fucking retard like yourself to, you know.
Hello, old Tom Segura fans. Come be my new fans, yeah. Please. I need fans so bad.
And now he's,
yeah. I'll stay fat forever and I'll die, I promise.
And then he's, and now he's like slim and he wears like fucking designer he's clothes cool. Or whatever, whatever. And there is just a natural, unfortunate, sorry, like people don't love that about you.
Sorry. No matter what happens, also, I'll still wear onesies.
They went from playing theaters back then. It used to be a different time, too. You were one of the biggest comedians in the world. You'd be still playing theaters. Now they're playing fucking stadiums.
Yeah.
Like, not even arenas, a stadium. You know what I mean? So these guys are so popular. You're going to have a lot of people. And the internet loves bashing you, too. The COVID really created a lot of cunt. You know, the fucking homeless cats.
Yeah.
Fucking Fighter and the Kid Reddit. Like that, which is also sad too when you see people, you go, who do you reckon the guy is that's posted the most on that
page? Yeah.
Like who's known for posting on that Reddit site? You go, that's sad.
Imagine that's the guy that's
like, not someone who's in between making sales. No. Of, you know,
like he's next to you at Denny's at 3 a.m. He's a fucking drunk loser. And angry at his girlfriend.
Like all that stuff is go in there. Realize you hate it for a bit, but you can't be a dedicated, you find something new to hate, I'm saying, you know what I mean?
There's something about people in like radio talk about Howard Stern a lot and how great he is, but there are a bunch of his numbers like polling that for most of his career, a majority of his listeners were people that hated him.
Oh, wow.
They didn't listen because they liked Howard Stern or his takes or anything. They're like, this guy's a fucking moron. I want to hear how he fucks up so I can bash him online.
That's funny.
So it's like there's also like the heel idea of like being the bad guy.
Yeah.
And playing and then be like, well, that's what I'm trying for.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could argue that most of Schaub's views are people who want to fucking hate watch his special.
Yeah.
But now I don't think that's a good idea to aim for that.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's like a viable career option.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's a flash in the pan.
What's going on with you? You eating that and good? Huh?
Man, I
you're always eating something good or shit.
Yeah, I good or so always fucking, eating. I took Colm to Tex-Mex and he described it as slop.
Where did we go? What did we eat?
The Tex-Mex we went to in Houston with the enchiladas.
Don't even remember.
With the queso on top. The Chinese we had was amazing.
Oh,
though.
The food that like the Mexican kind of food was it was kind of just sloppy fucking whatever.
I was just,
Chinese food was good. The first time I ever had a crab wonton.
Crab rangoons.
Crab rangoons, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Crab rangoons, yeah.
It's the fattest thing you can order at a Chinese place. Dude,
but we were also high as fuck. And then what did we get? We got some really good chicken.
Yeah, it was the black pepper chicken.
Yeah, but then some fucking dickhead recommended that.
Some other shit.
The black pepper chicken wings. And it was nasty.
Oh, yeah.
We got the chicken wings with that sauce, which was not the right one.
Mid, but the fucking actual dish with it was amazing.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like a foodie. I like someone who's like, dude, yo, we're going to go eat some
there's
fucking
so
good
much
shit.
Good food.
Yeah.
So I was in Chicago, I was going to figure out food, and this guy, I was there with Uncle Laser doing a show, and this dude, Professor Pizza, that's a big comedy fan. Hit up Laser and was like, hey,
Uncle Laser and Professor Pizza.
Yeah, Professor Peter. Yeah, explaining this story out loud now does sound fucking stupid.
We're fucked. We're fucked.
But
comedy's in a bubble. Tell you that much.
But Professor Pizza brought us over a couple of pizzas and he did one. He said it was his, I think he said mom's Sicilian style, but it was pepperonis, fresh ricotta, a really, really good sauce, and then Mike's Hot Honey. Which I think is just like the perfect pizza top. So that fucked very heavily. That was very good.
Nice. I got barbecue today, but I don't even like barbecue.
Where'd you go?
Just with the Stubbs.
Stubbs?
Yeah. Kind of dry, actually.
It's very mediocre.
Yeah, I just go because it's right beside the club. You know what I mean?
My problem with most of the barbecue in Texas is everybody goes so big and heavy with it. And it's like, if it's 3 p.m. and you eat that, you're out by 5.
Yeah.
You can't be a person after eating fucking 2 pounds of brisket.
I think it's just limited, you know what I mean?
And it's also like, char can only taste so good.
Yeah.
Like there's a top end of brisket where like the difference between a 9 and a 10, like you or I aren't going to really be able to notice that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
So like there's enough here that are fucking 9s. Go get brisket at Terry Black's or go to Distant Relatives and get the smoked mustard butter. It's fucking incredible.
Mm.
But like, I would rather go there and get just a pound of brisket with smoked mustard butter or go to CM Smokehouse and get the brisket crunch wrap, you know, and have a fucking, you know, like something unique than just go and have $75 of I need a nap.
Yeah, I hear you. I should, I need to mix it up over there. Although there's a little burger fucking thing outside of the mothership was gray.
Oh, not a damn fucking chance.
I don't know what it was, but I got the Joe Rogan anyway.
Yeah, that's his new thing he just did with the Tortuga hot sauce. And
I don't know, but it was fucking delicious. Triple decker burger?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's,
triple decker smash burger? Woo!
Yeah, those burgers are
great. Good. There's also a taco fucking truck around the corner here that's never open. It's some of the best tacos I've ever had.
Dude,
they just don't open.
Yeah.
I've only ever had them like probably once in all my time.
Yeah. I remember you told me about the first time we were just like searching for it.
No, it's always closed.
Yeah.
Fucker.
there's a lot of fucking good tacos here.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We just got a new bagel shop I'm really excited about.
Oh, God, it's tough to get good bagels outside of fucking...
I know.
The Northeast.
So I just tried this place here, Holy Bagel, and they...
Is this good? Is this interesting to people, or is this terrible?
I don't fucking care. It's interesting to me. I'm having a great time.
You're just talking about bagels, dude. Like, is this, like, terrible? Is this the worst thing we've ever done? Sorry, folks. Sorry, I forgot we were supposed to be entertaining. Me and you're just like mumbling about bagels.
Dude, yeah. It really does suck how fat I am because like I'm now at a point where I don't know if it's because I'm in my 30s or low T because of alcohol and obesity, but I would way rather have a great meal than a great blowjob.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it's just, it's...
But fucking blowjobs are a dime a dozen.
Yeah. Even the best one, it's like, my whole body's shaking.
I tell you what, I
remember forever. And the tastes are still
I love
there.
Splashing out on a fucking meal. I do that. I'll go out, go nuts with my girl. Mm-hmm. Me and my fiance will go out.
Have you guys set a date?
No. No. No hurry, but... not on my end. But... Yeah, we go out every now and again. We'll, you know, drop some fucking heavy cash for us, you know.
Yeah.
If it's like, you know, all included, 200, 250 a head. Like, that's not like a fucking expensive
that's
night.
You can have great food for that.
Yeah, but it's like, and I never really regret it. Even if I go out and I go, that wasn't that good, I don't ever go, fuck, what a waste of my money, kind of. Some places I go, that was more expensive than it was deserved. But I didn't lose $500 on that meal. I lost fucking $70 because it was overpriced, but it wasn't. But it's just, that's the life.
Yeah.
You fucking get blazed up high as shit and then just fucking go eat like a tasting menu.
Oh,
with,
man.
Like, with like unlimited wine. You're fucking, that's the life. And there's nothing better than that. Doing that with like fucking your partner that you're supposed to love for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? They're the nice days.
Dude, that's the greatest thing you can do. Share a meal with someone you love.
Yeah.
That's a fancy meal.
Yeah.
One
of the best. Or anything where it's just like, we go to Rhode Island a lot, Newport, and there's like a crab shack up there.
Oh man, those mansions are gorgeous.
Yeah, the mansions are nuts. Yeah, but we go up there. That's like a good food place.
Yeah.
Rhode Island. Newport, yeah. Newport, Rhode Island. Great for food. So we stay at Narragansett. You know where the beer is?
Yeah.
That's a lot of places where we'll go. But there's a place there, a crab shack, Monahan's crab shack, and it just does this fried shit. And you can sit down on the beach, like, you know, it's a cool fucking summer day, and you're just having a Pepsi and fucking this fried shit. And it's only a $20 meal, but that's like
unbelievable.
Few things better than that. Honestly, it's like the same as for me as like a fancy restaurant. That
in Fort Walton Beach, there's a club there called The Block.
Yeah.
It's part of like the Comedy Zone Network. And the venue has a huge like honky tonk, like dance hall, a big comedy thing in the back, and then a live music space outside. So they call it three venues in one. Super fucking fun. Right down the street is a place called Stubby's.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fish house, and they catch everything 20 minutes away. And so it's all fresh daily, and the catch of the day always changes. And me and another guy open for Galen will do that club. And every time we go to Stubby's, and it's, you spend $25 and you just get a plate of fried fish with some coleslaw, green beans, a couple hush puppies, and a slice of key lime pie. And it's as good as anything I've spent $500 on.
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid.
That's when you fucking a nice street meat, like a fucking street vendor. There's like some tacos that I get a lot when I go down to LA because I stay at some shitty motel.
Perfect.
Right across the street does these tacos and they're probably the best fucking tacos I've ever had in my life. And you're eating for next to nothing and they have all these type of food and they're cooking in front of you. I was there one night actually and Aziz was beside me. Just happened to be beside me. I don't know if you've ever watched Masters of None.
Yeah.
And no, he's a real foodie.
Yeah.
That's another thing. If you ever go up to New York, just Google the Master of None restaurants that he goes to because he's a real fucking guy.
That rips.
So you can find some great places just following that show. But he was in line with me with his now wife. Mm-hmm. And I'm high as shit after doing a show at the store. And I see him and it was dark too, so I didn't even recognize it. It was just like, there's a brown guy. I was trying to order something, and then he helped me order it. He was like, "That's carnitas," or something. I was like, "All right, dude, thanks." And then I realized it was him, so I didn't say anything. I'm just watching him, and he's like, "Can we get two of these? I want to get two of these." And then he's like, he walks behind.
Randy!
Yeah, he's literally, he goes behind, and he's like watching him cook, and he's like, "Oh my god!" He's like fucking spazzing out, and then he's like, "And what are these?" He's like, "Al pastor, we're getting some al pastors." He added it to the thing, and he's like, "Oh!" And it was like, to see him in his natural habitat, go spazzing out, was so funny. I was like, "This is crazy that he does this on the show."
Rules.
Yeah.
Oh man, that fucking rips.
Then I turn around to the girl. I go, "Are you safe? Are you safe?" I don't know if you read the article, but he's going to make you drink white wine with fish.
Yeah.
Fucking, I remember that dog shit. Do you remember that fucking retard tried to release a sort of a Me Too against him?
Yeah. And didn't she say she like sucked his dick and didn't like it or something?
Yeah. She said he stuck his fingers down her throat one time. Like, she went out for oysters. She goes, "I'm not a big fan of fucking oysters," or some shit like that. And then she goes, "I wanted to order red wine, but he insisted on a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc or something like that." I was like, "Yeah, you uncultured fucking slut. She's fucking, you're not drinking fucking Malbec."
He paired it correctly.
Dumb fucking dipshit. And then she also was like, "Oh, he ordered me an Uber and I had that under a fake name." He uses an alias. And then she just exposed his name.
Oh.
Like, she just said that in the article, almost like he uses this name. So obviously that's like when he books like hotels and shit, he uses his name. It was just crazy. That was the craziest
that
one.
That sucks.
That was the one when we all went, "Maybe these bitches are lying."
Maybe some of them suck.
Maybe not all women. Maybe not all women.
Dude, the baseball guy.
Who's that?
God, I can't remember what his name is. I'm bad at baseball. But there's a dude that was like big in baseball and got canceled because of some scandal with his lady.
Yeah.
And then her texts got brought up in court, and she was texting her friend about how, like, "I'm going to take him for so much fucking money. I'm going to get all this shit. I'm going to line sales." I just like fucking lined it all out, and he lost all this money and lost like his MLB contracts and all the shit, and like fucked his whole career. And then all that came out, it was on the
damage was already been done, had it?
Yeah. Trevor Bauer. Yeah.
Trevor. I do remember hearing the name. Sorry. I got to send it to
you. No, you're good.
It's important about this show.
Well, you've got lots of dates coming up.
I'm all over the road, folks.
Yeah.
If any's ever want to see me, I'm finally headlining properly.
Yeah, you know? You're doing it. You're doing the thing. Does it feel real? Or does it still feel like, all right, I'm on the way up for something?
I don't know. It's just, I'm just happy to be out, busy. I just wanted, my whole goal, like, I've only got a handful of weekends left this year that I can even fulfill. Like, you know what I mean? And it's nice too when it's like some club that didn't want to book me was like, "Yeah, okay, let's figure out a date." And I go, "Well, you're gonna have to come back next year, N-word."
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. It's the word you're thinking of. I'm telling you, that's just, it's not a different N-word. It's the it's the one. Yeah, but that stuff feels nice. But I'm just busy. All I wanted was to be busy this year. That's all I've ever wanted. Mm-hmm. Just give me the opportunity to be busy. So hopefully then next year we start selling more tickets. I need to get good. That's the problem. I'm not very good at stand-up, so I need to get good at it. You know,
you got an accent. You'll be fine.
Yep.
People confuse you for smart. Like, listen to how he sounds. He's intelligent. These are great jokes. Look how smart this guy is.
Oh, he's so poetic. What do you call his wife a cunt?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the way the poetry of it.
I've never heard such a brilliant take on drinking games.
Drinking games wasn't a bad bit.
No, it's a fucking great bit.
It's all right.
No, it's awesome. Check out the special.
Check out my special. Yeah, whatever.
Dates on your website?
Dates on the website. I'm all over. So just check out the website. And if you don't see somewhere, just let me know. I'll be there soon enough.
Yeah. Well, all 27 of you, thank you for tuning in. I've been Mike Eaton. This has been Colm Tyrrell. Have a great rest of your night. Goodbye.